The Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian, good morning.
And good morning to you. Everything going well so far?
Everything's going great so far. And we want to wish our technical video director, Karen Cotton, a very happy birthday today. Today is her birthday. And we've already started partying. We're going to hour two, and it's a great time. If anyone who knows Karen, they're like, oh, yeah. So happy birthday, Karen. We're grateful for you.
Yeah, she can make us look bad, so we try to treat her well.
And we have to be nice.
Brought her sweets from the Heavenly Donut. She's sipping on coffee from River Road, and that's just getting her started. We won't share with you what the rest of her agenda is, but she's excited about it. We'll leave it at that. And we're excited you're joining us this morning here on Wake Up. We always begin with a prayer, so let's do so. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. God, you alone are holy, and without you, no one is good. Through the intercession of Saint Joseph and Nicodemus, grant that we may so live as not to be deprived of your glory. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Saints Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, pray for us. They are our saints of the day, and we will learn more about them later on in today's show. We have some wonderful events we will give you details about coming up at 10 after. All of the events we discuss on today's morning show are on our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Dr. Mark Williams joins us from the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau. He is the superintendent of Catholic schools. He'll be updating us on how they're doing. In 35 minutes, David Dawson Jr. joins us. He's the director of the Office of Parish Support of the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau. And every Thursday, we talk about marriage and family life. And today, we're talking about turning off work when we get home. You guys, I don't know if this is just such a relevant topic that I need to hear, but looking forward to having this conversation with Dave. I think a lot of us need to kind of put the phones away and focus on family life, especially after work, kind of decompress a little bit. So it's going to be a good conversation. And in 48 minutes, Father Matthew Dunn joins us. He's a pastor at Christ the King in Baton Rouge, chaplain of the Courage Ministry and St. Joseph Academy in Baton Rouge. And today he's going to be talking about the Eucharistic Revival and Devotion segment. So I'm going to stop talking to you and go get another cup of coffee and let you handle the weather. So what do you have for us today?
Well, it's going to be sunny today, and that's nice. High 80, I should say 96, low 73. Winds nice and breezy out of the northeast at about 5 to 10. Low humidity, so it really shouldn't be a bad day overall compared to what we've been experiencing for the last month. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow we have a 15% chance of rain, otherwise it will be a lot like today. As for the weekend, it's going to be cooler. Highs are going to actually be in the low 90s, and we have about a 25 to 30% chance of rain. As far as Hurricane Idalia, the remains are of the hurricane, or former hurricane, I should say, are on the North Carolina, Virginia coast right now. By noon today, all that rain and weather will be out in the Atlantic and gone for good, hopefully. In the meantime, cleanup efforts are underway right now with over 300,000 people still without power. So let's pray for them. Temperatures in and around the area, 73 degrees in Baton Rouge and Covington. It's 79 in New Orleans. Homo-Thibodeau, 75, and in Gulfport, it's 73. It's also 5 after the hour on this Thursday. So let's get after it on Wake Up.
Thank you. Good morning. Today's gospel comes to us from Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of the night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Who then is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to distribute to them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds doing so. Amen, I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is long delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish him severely and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The house of our lives is extremely fragile. Not only in the sense of the shortness of this life, but especially in the sense that it is constantly being exposed to being broken into by the external threats of Satan and his henchmen, the world, and corrupted by our own disordered appetites. In contrast, Jesus declared, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." This means that the Creator's word, which brought everything into existence, is infinitely more powerful and lasting than any particular thing. Whatever is truly permanent lasts solely because it abides in Him. One lesson of history is that people and things, even mighty civilizations, pass away into footnote status, if that. However, God's Word remains as the constant principle of stability and existence. In today's gospel, we are confronted with the image of Jesus as a thief. In our attempt to wrap our minds around this idea, we may begin to understand that our problem with the concept is rooted in our clutching to our existence as if it belonged by rights to ourselves and no one else. Therefore, anyone coming to claim it from us, even Jesus himself, is going to feel to us like a thief. Anticipating our reaction, Jesus casts himself with considerable humor in the role of a thief. The saints, with their passionate heroic love, got it. And therefore, they understood that they were called to turn the tables on Jesus with the daring of the women of the Gospels, the Canaanite woman, Mary Magdalene, the woman at Jacob's well, the widow of Nain, and of course, our Blessed Lady herself. St. Therese of Lisieux also got it. She said on her deathbed, "He will come and steal me away in the nicest way possible." Oh, how I'd love to aid the thief. As the death was close, she added, "How can I be afraid of someone I love so much?" Oh, may we learn to love like that. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
And amen to that, Brother Jimmy. And thank you, Father Chris, as well, for reading the gospel for us this morning. It's Thursday morning, the last day of August. Yes, it is. And we have a number of events coming up for next month, which starts tomorrow. And here we go. Bible study is going to be taking place, the Magnificat Bible study entitled "Woman Called by Name." It's going to begin September 7th, next week, at St. Catherine of Siena in Metairie. It's a 10-week study, and you'll have lessons about various women in the Old and New Testament. Rather cool, I think. Each lesson describes the historical context and significance of the scriptures, as well as how they are applicable in our current day. Women Called by Name, as I said, September 7th from 1 to 3 in the John Paul II room at St. Catherine of Siena. Space is limited, so you must register as soon as you possibly can. Go to ccmedia.live to get the details.
That's right. Also, St. Rita's Catholic Church in Uptown New Orleans will be having a praise and worship service on September 13th at 6 p.m. Confessions will be held from 5 to 7. For details, you can go to ccmedia.live.
Here's one for Gabby, if no one else. Most Holy Trinity Parish in Pass Christian, Mississippi is having their annual rummage sale, September 15th to the 17th from 8 to 2 each day. And you can go to our website for more information.
You know, we actually found some really cool stuff at rummage sales, church rummage sales before.
They're fun to go to.
I love church rummage sales. And don't miss the first day. That's where the good stuff are. So get there early and get there on the first day. Well, at Echo and Lake Charles, married couples will be coming together for the weekend of November 10th through the 12th to dive into St. John Paul II's theology of the body, all while growing in their own relationships and in authentic community with other couples. The retreat will offer dynamic talks, life-giving discussions, and quality time with your spouse. The cost is $500 per couple, but that includes food, accommodations, and all retreat materials. You can go to ccmedia.live right now for details.
All right. You know, the Women's Acts Retreat is coming up September 21st through the 24th, and it's going to be held at the Cenacle on the Lake in Metairie, beginning at 5:45 p.m. on that Thursday. The retreat includes lodging for single occupancy, all meals, all supplies. The retreat will conclude on Sunday, the 24th of September at 11 o'clock with a Mass at St. Catherine in Metairie. A reception will follow as well. If more information, go to our website, ccmedia.live. By the way, the men's next Acts retreat from that church parish, St. Catherine, is going to be November 30th, and they're taking registrations now for that as well.
Very nice. The New Orleans Catholic Youth Conference is coming up on September 30th, so save the date. The conference will be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Jesuit High School in New Orleans, and this year's theme is to stir the flame. Guest speakers are Father Josh Johnson, Father Ajani Gibson, and Archbishop Gregory Amond. For more information on this youth conference, you can go to ccmedia.live.
Man, that's an all-star lineup there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. A young woman's retreat entitled Come to the Water is going to be held on September 22nd through the 24th at the Shrine of Our Lady of Hope in Osaka, Mississippi. The retreat is for women 21 years of age and older. During the three-day retreat event, you will hear talks from Father Joshua Johnson as well, Father Jerry Daniel, and Father Reuben Dykes, along with others. A lot of retreats planning to get us ready for Advent. So let's do that. Make plans to do and attend a retreat if you have the opportunity. It is 15 after on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 31st. Today we celebrate Saints Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. The actions of these two influential Jewish leaders give us insight into the charismatic power of Jesus and his teachings, and the risks that could be involved in following him. Joseph was a respected, wealthy civic leader who had become a disciple of Jesus. Following the death of Jesus, Joseph obtained Jesus' body from Pilate, wrapped it in fine linen, and buried it. For these reasons, Joseph is considered the patron saint of funeral directors and pallbearers. More important is the courage Joseph showed in asking Pilate for Jesus' body. Jesus was a condemned criminal who had been publicly executed. According to some legends, Joseph was punished and imprisoned for such a bold act. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and, like Joseph, an important first-century Jew. We know from John's Gospel that Nicodemus went to Jesus at night, secretly, to better understand his teachings about the kingdom. Later, Nicodemus spoke up for Jesus at the time of his arrest and later assisted in Jesus' burial. We know little else about Nicodemus. The men whose feast we celebrate today were rewarded for their struggle to understand and embrace the words of Jesus. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. And Damian, I have to say that lately I have been receiving so many events from people. I mean, it is probably at least 5 to 10 events a day. It has been absolutely incredible. So I don't know what's going on, but keep sending them to us so we can post it on our website for free at ccradio.live or ccmedia.live. You can go to ccradio.live too, same website.
Yeah.
But please send us your events. Absolutely free. We love to tell people about what's going on in your church, parish, organization, school. So you can do that. You can just click on submit, events and news, and then the submit your event form. But looking forward to learning a little bit more about what's going on in our area. And one of them, Damien, that has just been a really selling like crazy are our Catholic Man Night tickets.
Yeah.
Those are have been flying off the shelf, I guess. The reservations have been going and going.
Yeah, we have limited seating. We only have 20 tables available, so a total of 200 men. So it becomes somewhat exclusive. And this being our seventh year, it's really developed a lot of momentum, and a lot of guys look forward to it each and every year from all around. I mean, they come from 50, 60 miles away, whether it be New Orleans, the North Shore, Mississippi even, and home of Thibodeau. They all kind of congregate, and we have a great guest speaker, Mike Fulmer. He is the owner of Berry Land Campers, but he's also a very spiritual man who's going to have a great message for us on that night. And it's also great fellowship. John Foles puts on what we call a walking buffet. Used to be a sit-down dinner where you got a steak and all the extras to go along with it and wine. And well, the wine will be flowing, and there'll also be a bar available. And the food, though, is just phenomenal because you go to station. Mm-hmm. There's like 8 or 9 food stations, if you can believe that. And it start. You can get a gumbo. You can get oysters. Grilled yep. oysters, shrimp and grits. I'm just telling you, the menu changes every year, but you name yes. it, it's going to be there. And Chef Foles does a wonderful job. And nice if you get there an hour early, if you're a member of the Fraternity of the Leaf, which is, again, a subgroup of Catholic Man Night. You'll be able to get together an hour ahead of time, have cigars, yeah. and drink some John Foles' special concoctions and what he develops in his distillery on White Oak Plantation and Gardens. And anyway, bottom line is it's a great night. Go to our website. It's only $125 a person. Tables are $1,000. You save some money if you get a table. But overall, it's just a good fundraiser for Catholic Community Radio. You have a great night of fellowship, right. and you're helping us evangelize and get the word of God out to folks all along the Gulf South.
That's right. CCmedia.live is where you can go and purchase your reservations. We've been getting reservations every day being purchased, sometimes tables. So if you're thinking about going, maybe right now is a time, right now is a good time to start thinking yeah. about purchasing that ticket.
Do it
it's
now.
Our, you know, with it being the last day in August and we have sold this many, I definitely would not be delaying as
yeah.
far as that goes.
I agree.
So
we'll be sold out way before the event gets here. So sign up today if
Most
you can.
Definitely.
Well, I think we're ready for our Most next definitely. Guest. And Gabby?
Well, let me see what Dave wants to do. I don't
no?
think
okay.
quite yet. But well, one of the okay. things that I did want to say is you can follow us on social media. We have so many things happening on our social media these days that you definitely want to stay tuned with what's going on in the church community or even across our state or the states that we encompass, our nation, and of course in the Vatican as well. We post news on there and different things happening in our area that we want to give you details about. So you can follow us on social media at CC at Catholic Community Media, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. And we're also on Twitter at LA Catholic Media. So
okay.
follow us on those different sources.
Yeah. Did you know, speaking of events and things in the know, did you know there's 10 things to know from the latest survey by the Catholic Church? Are you aware of some of the things that they've come up with and found out?
No. What do you
Okay. Well, the total number of Catholics have actually increased in the country, the
oh
world.
Oh, my gosh. That's good.
1.3, just shy of 1.8 billion Catholics now in the world. That's an increase of 1.3% from the previous year. And that's pretty cool when you consider the total population in the world has increased 1.6%. So a lot
wow.
of Catholics primarily in foreign countries, though. Total number of priests continued to decrease, though. And that's the sad news, is the fact that globally it's been 407,872 priests, pretty much is what we have these days. And religious order priests saw a larger decrease of 1.1%, while the diocesan priests decreased by only a third of a percent. So, just
wow.
Food for thought.
That's great. Well, and keep praying for vocations, religious
sure.
life.
That's why I shared
the priest, diaconate, priesthood, diaconate. Thank you so much, Damian,
yeah,
for that.
Yeah,
it's very
we need
important
to need
know.
To pray for our priests and seminarians every day.
Absolutely. Dr. Mark Williams joins us now. He's the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau Superintendent of Catholic Schools. Good morning, Dr. Williams. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning. Peace be with everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's so great to have you with us today. Can you give us an update on how the Catholic schools are doing with back to school and the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau?
I would love to. We're back to school in full force here in the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau. We're very, very blessed this year. You know, our school enrollment is up for the second straight year. We're very, very pleased about that. It's our sincere goal to do exactly what the Holy See expects of us, and that is to provide a purposeful education in our Catholic schools, the formation of boys and girls who will be excellent citizens in this world, and then not only that, be prepared for the world, the next world. So we're very, very excited as our year is underway.
That's a great report, Dr. Williams. One of the things that we as parents want to know when we put our kids in Catholic schools is faith formation. That's what makes us so distinct than any other school, is forming our children in the Catholic faith, in religion classes throughout the day, and having that sense of belonging in Catholic schools as well. How is the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau making that readily available for students and families?
That's a great question, and I'm so happy that you asked. You know, we have the philosophy here that we measure what we treasure. And so we measure everything, including our religious knowledge. And in addition to that, you know, we do go to Mass every week. We do have religion classes in every school. But every year we measure our religious knowledge using the assessment of religious knowledge for all of our students, grades 2 through 12, and our teachers, our faculty, everyone. Even I took the test. The superintendent took everyone took the test. And so that way we know what we need to infuse in our curriculum to actually do what we say, and that's build better disciples, citizens, and really make our faith come to true life in each of our students.
Amazing. And I'm sure that is a peace of mind for parents. And of course, something that we think about when choosing Catholic schools, especially in the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau. So we only have a couple of minutes left. Dr. Williams, of course, I'd love to have you join us another time to talk deeper into this. But what are you most looking forward to with the start of a new school year?
Well, each school year brings immense challenges, but also incredible opportunities. I like to focus on those. We have the opportunity to change our community. We really do. If we can grow our students in every possible way, if we could not only evangelize the students, but also their families, getting everyone into the parish on Sundays, really build a culture of belonging here in our diocese, we can change our community. And that is the opportunity at hand. And so we look forward to this school year. We look forward to the opportunity to educate our students. And I always use the same scripture verse, John 10, I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full. If we educate our students and evangelize our families in every possible way, we are going to provide them the tools to have a very full life And we look forward to that opportunity.
Yes, and your job is so important. Superintendent of Catholic Schools, you are leading the way, especially in the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau. Dr. Mark, where can parents go to find the right Catholic school for their family and learn a little bit more about the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau?
We invite everyone listening to travel to two sites. One is go to our website, Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau, click on schools, which is at the top, and you will see everything about Catholic schools, including a letter from me that's very recent. I just wrote it and posted it. You'll see our annual report, which has our test scores and all the relevant information that parents might want to know. And it'll give you great insight into what we're doing right now. And then if our diocese, our Facebook folks and Instagram folks, they
Dr. Williams, do a great job in communication. I apologize. We are running out of time. HDDiocese.org is where you can go. Thank you so much for being with us. It is half past the hour. It is 35 past the hour. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. You're listening to Wake Up This Morning. Our next guest is David Dawson Jr. He's the director of the Office of Parish Support of the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We are doing great and looking forward to today's topic, turning off work when we get home from work. Okay, so sometimes we need this little reminder, right, Dave? Tell us a little bit about some tips and insights that you may have.
Yeah, for sure. I think we all are aware of the need for this, right? And that our family needs our presence, our awareness. They need our time undivided. And, when we come home from work, it can be very difficult to put work away, obviously more difficult now than it's ever been because we're accessible 24/7. But one of the things that makes this so difficult is not just that we like being effective, or not just that people need us and they're constantly pressing for our attention. Because there was a few times I've had challenges to put the phone in the back, when I'm at home and when I've been able to do that and the phone's not in my pocket, it's fine. I can do it, and I'm not thinking about work and people don't have access to me and the world doesn't actually implode. Like, I think it's gonna, my job is secure. Yeah. People that work with me, they do fine, things don't blow up like I think they're gonna. That's why I got to keep my phone on me just in case, but the truth is, we so easily, just the way our brains work, we so easily fall into finding easy ways, the easiest ways to get like the pleasure reward systems going in our heads. We're so used to that, especially throughout the day. I put in this quarter, I get this out. I do this work, I get this result. Goofy little video games that we play on our phones. Those apps make millions of dollars because we're used to, this is something we get used to. Social media is fueled on this. So some of the biggest industries in the world are fueled on just very simple, the fact that we can easily get a hit of adrenaline, dopamine, serotonin, and feeling like we have purpose because we've accomplished something like a very visible goal that was easy to say, I did something and I got a reward from it. And so a lot of times, especially in our country, and we are wired both culturally and just kind of our brains are wired to get a lot of pleasure from being able to accomplish something. We have a to-do list and I can accomplish it. I got a text from a coworker, I can respond. I've got a project, and if I can be on that project and be thinking about that project, the more I can do, the better I feel. So unfortunately, it's not just that, look, I'm just trying to get important things done. I'm an important person. People need me. It's something as simple as it just feels better than trying to put in the work and being present to my family at home. There's a quicker, easier, simpler reward from work than it is from putting in my time with my kids and my wife,
No, you are absolutely right. But also, have you found that if you continue to work, even after, if it's an email here or a text message here or posting that thing here, whatever you do for work, that work never ends. And then at the end of the day, find yourself getting in bed and you're like, wow, I think I just put in a 14-hour work day and I didn't even realize did that. And then you wake up and it starts all over again. It's exhausting.
Exactly. And I think there's very few jobs that there's actually an end. Because you could always do more, Right. And we'll always find ways to do more. And our companies will always find ways to offer us those opportunities because, you know, the more we put in, the more results we get, which causes us to, you know, it's kind of an addictive process. But the question is, do we feel fulfilled? Does this actually give us a sense of fulfillment and purpose? And just like with all of these things, right, the video games, the apps, in our work, it may give us a quick hit, but it doesn't provide us with lasting fulfillment. As a matter of fact, it leaves us feeling pretty purposeless and empty because that's not what we're made for, right? That's more of like an animal kind of instinct that we've got for just a hit of the chemicals, right? So that's it's there. It's part of our survival mechanism, but it doesn't actually give us fulfillment as human beings. Our fulfillment comes when we live kind of in the other, when we're drawn out of ourselves and into another person. And that's what our families are built for. But we typically kind of use our families as like a home base, unfortunately, without really thinking about it that way. But that kind of tends to be where it falls.
Yeah. Well, and I'm guilty of this. Even a couple of days this week, I was kind of in that cycle, and I was telling my husband, you know, I really need to put my phone away whenever I get home and we're done with the practice of sports and doing all that carpool, school, and everything like that. Even when, you know, my son's off doing stuff that he's supposed to be doing, like his chores and stuff for the evening, I'm like, oh, I can send this quick email or I can respond to this text real quick. No, just put it away. It's done for the day.
Yeah.
You can handle it in the morning. Yeah. The world's not going to catch on fire, you know, if you answer this email at 6:30, you know, just being present.
I know. It is, and it's hard, but I think if we know why we're doing it, that the reason we're being drawn to it is much simpler than I'm trying to accomplish great things. We give ourselves the excuse that that's what it is, but the truth is we're just kind of trying to get another sense of fulfillment. And not get a sense of dread that I'm missing something. If I never saw that notification, I would never dread anything, right? But I think also the truth is that because the fulfillment comes from, like, in my children, my wife need my presence. And if I can give them that, one little, you know, one more email, one more text actually takes a lot longer than we think it's going to take. And what happens is, and we see this, unfortunately, it only happens over time because the most important things only happen over time. The results of our being present or not become very clear. We just assume that it's somebody else's fault, right?
Right. Well, and I was catching myself doing this the other day too. I was making the grocery list online, and so while my family was trying to make a decision of what cereal they wanted for that week, I was like, oh, I'll just send a quick email, and then I got a response back that says, you're too young to be emailing me this late, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh, that hit me. That really did. I said, you know what, you're right. And I emailed him back. I'm just waiting for my family to respond with what cereal they wanted because I'm making the online grocery order and it's taking longer than I thought. But it's stuff like that. Put it away, done for the day. My boss just texted me that, you know, your dad just texted me that. So I'm going to stick with that. And we're going to do that. But being present, listening to what your kids have to say, even if you've heard it 20 times that day, still listening, they're opening up to you, even if they're not, but still being in that presence with your family because time flies by, Dave, and then we realize our kids are all grown up.
That's right. We assume, I think the biggest thing, and I know I'm guilty of this, but I think everybody is, we assume that we can do all these things at once. We assume that we can multitask. Mm-hmm. And the truth is just because we can think about multiple things at once doesn't actually mean we can be present to multiple things at once. And everybody else knows that about us, and we know that about our family members. You know, we can tell our parents, hey, you know, you can't do three things at once. You have to choose because I'm sitting here and you give me half of your attention. We can say that about our spouses. Like, no, you can't actually check your phone and listen to me at the same time. You know, you can't work and be present. But we think we can, you know. So I think it's just a matter of, for me, the things that are hard, the things that I've kind of like, unfortunately, let my brain take over and just the kind of the habits and addictions take over, structure is what is the solution. I can't just want it and hope I do better. I've got to actually include some structure in my life. Like, this is when work ends. When I get in my car at the end of the day, so for me, it's got to be when I get in my car at the end of the day, I'm not doing work anymore, because if I start then when I pull up in the driveway, I'm still going to be doing it. And that's a problem.
Right.
So it's got to stop as soon as I get in the car, and it doesn't start up until maybe when I get back in the car on the way to work, I can maybe look at that, or even when I get to work. And people that you work with will understand that those are the expectations. And they'll, you know, if you're not answering in the evenings, they'll stop checking on you in the evenings. That's just kind of the way it goes.
that expectation is not there anymore because they know that you're with your family, or even saying, hey, I'm with my family. It's after hours. But, you know, it's so true. And we have to give each other grace, right? We're human. We tend to fall into the temptations of answering that notification, answering that message, even when we don't want to. So we can always, today's a new day. Put the music in the car on the way to work or after work to decompress. Let's and getting home and spending time with family. David Dawson Jr., Director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Homer-Thibodeau. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for being with us today. You can go to hddiocese.org to find out more. Thank you so much, Dave, for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. I'm going to start new today. We're going to do it, and we're going to decompress and put the phone away. So all give each other some grace. It's okay.
Lock it up.
Father Matthew Dunn.
That's right. Put it in a drawer. Shut it.
Yeah, well, we can do that. Okay, that gave me a little anxiety, but we can do that. Okay, we can start today. Father Matthew Dunn joins us when we return from the break. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Well, minutes before the top of the hour on this happy Thursday. So glad you could join us, Damian Collado, Gabby Smith. And we also thank you for watching us on Catholic Life TV in Baton Rouge and listening wherever you are and however you're doing it. With us now, a good friend of ours here at Catholic Community Radio, Father Matthew Dunn. He is pastor over at Christ the King on LSU's campus. He's chaplain at St. Joseph Academy in Baton Rouge, a high school for young ladies. And he's also a chaplain of the Courage Ministry. He is a busy man, and I am glad he took some time out to chat with us this morning. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. If we were any better, we'd probably be part of the Heavenly Donut Biscuits.
The biscuits, donuts.
Not the donuts. They make biscuits, too. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. All right. You are also overseeing the Eucharistic revival in our diocese. So let's start with that, because we've got a number of topics we want to touch on. But in particular, with that one, the Eucharistic Congress is not that far away, less than a year now, and it's in Indianapolis, Indiana. This is big. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it. It's the first one in 83 years, I believe.
Right. There was one in New Orleans, but that was, before World War II in the 1930s. So this is a pretty big moment for, it is American history, but also the history of the church.
Yes.
In general. Eucharistic congresses aren't uncommon, but for us here in the United States, this is something really, really big, which is fitting to wrap up the National Eucharistic Revival as well. But 83 years is quite a long time, certainly longer than I can remember.
Well, it is a couple generations back, and that's what I was trying to think. So they had one right before World War II, or as it was developing. But more importantly, we have one now. And I think it's perfect timing when you think about it, because of the fact that our country is so divided. We need to be unified once again, some way, shape, or form. And we know, as Catholics, the body of Christ can do that, no matter what your political affiliation is or what your beliefs are.
Certainly. And that's the whole idea behind it, that this Eucharistic Congress, no matter where it is, but especially here in the United States, where things do get polarizing, things do get involved with politics, and it's just so divisive that, our Eucharistic Lord is the one who unites everything. The Eucharist is the common denominator throughout all of the Catholic Church. It is the source and summit, like the Catechism says. So when we rally around the Eucharist and come together, it is something that's healing and forming, but also sends us back out as a missionary people, and not just, I'm Catholic and I do the whole communion thing. But this is a huge moment for us to be healed and unified together as the church.
Yeah, it's a 5-day event. It's going to be from July 17th through the 21st. They're expecting 80,000 plus. I don't want to dwell on this too much, but you can go to eucharisticcongress.org to get all the details. I do know if you want to go for the 5 days, I believe it's like $300, which isn't bad for the 5-day event. And there's going to be activities. They tell you what's going to happen each and every day. So go to that website, and you'll learn more about the Eucharistic Congress. In regards to the Eucharistic Revival, how, and you being a pastor now at Christ the King on LSU's campus, and you're doing a wonderful job, the young people I talk to just love you to death, and it's amazing. You would think you're a rock star already. I don't know how that happened, but I'm glad to see, you know, local boy makes good. And how are young adults in our communities responding to the Eucharistic Revival?
You know, honestly, I have to say that this is something that the church recognized that we needed, but no one else truly understood until we started to get things in action. At least here at Christ the King, like you said, on LSU's campus, the Eucharistic Revival was very much alive, and it was kind of thanks to Father Andrew Merrick, the former pastor, thanks to his efforts before I even got here. There's a deep, deep love for our Lord and the Eucharist that's in the hearts of our young people that I had really never seen before. We have people that visit constantly, constantly, constantly throughout the week when we have our Adoration Chapel within the building, within the Student Center at Christ the King. They want adoration. They want to go and pray with our Lord. They know that He is there. And so even apart from the Eucharistic Revival as a motion that was initiated by the United States bishops, this is something that we see a longing for in the heart of all generations, but especially our young people, because it's something that is so pivotal, so ingrained in who we are as Catholics. And it is something that is taking place very, very quickly, if you will.
Well, and that's good to see. You know what? I go to confession periodically at Christ the King just because of the convenience and the hours that you provided. But I'm amazed the young people understand what going to reconciliation is, at least in my opinion, when I'm there. There's always a line.
Yeah. Oh, there's a long line. Praise God for that. Praise
yeah,
God.
I think it's beautiful. They're taking advantage of a wonderful sacrament, and I think we can learn from, we as adults can learn from our young people in that regard.
Absolutely, and the Eucharist is tied to reconciliation as well. The Eucharist strengthens us, mm-hmm. but it also heals and consoles us as well. Once we get freed from those sins, like the young people recognize, you recognize, I recognize, they're so tied together that it's such an important moment for us as Catholics in both regards, that they both bring us closer to the heart of Christ, you know?
Mm-hmm. By the way, as chaplain at St. Joseph Academy, what are your responsibilities there? Is it providing Mass and confession as well?
It's all of the above. So the community at St. Joseph's Academy has Mass once a month together, the whole school. So I'm usually there for that. We have once a semester, all-day confessions. So we'll have myself, the bishops in our diocese, and other priests who come, and all day long we'll hear confessions while the girls are in adoration before our Lord. And they're very well prepared. I have to say they're doing a great job at the academy, because the students will show up for confession, for reconciliation, and want to be healed in that regard before, and then spend the rest of the class period with the Lord in the Eucharist. And other than that, I just get to hang out and, as you could say, I guess, waste time with the students and just be present. And I love doing that. It's a wonderful place.
Yes, it is. Nice. And man, it's great. I'm glad to hear all day confessions. That's amazing. So that's mm-hmm. that's a great way to celebrate the Eucharist as well. Last but not least, and we only have 30 seconds, what the Eucharistic Revival's at the parish level now. Anything in particular, anything you recommend? What can we do to participate in that? Do we go to just our church parish, our local priest? What?
So you can go to your local church, parish, go to your pastor, but I would say first and foremost, show up early to Mass. Be with our Lord in the Eucharist before Mass even begins. Realize how you meet Him in the Mass, and then stick around for a minute or two after Mass is over and just thank Him for His presence in the Eucharist. That starts our hearts in the right way, and that's the best way to get initiated.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, Father Matthew Dunn, thank you for being with us. We'd love for you to end our show this morning with a prayer, if you're in a blessing, if you can.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for your many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day of our lives. And so as we begin this new day on the right foot, we turn to you, Lord, and commend it to you. May everything that we do, say, and think be for your greater glory, for your honor, and for your praise. And may Almighty God bless you now and always, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right. Thank you again, Father Matthew Dunn, Christ the King Church Parish on LSU's campus in Baton Rouge. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank y'all. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have the Knights of Columbus monthly update. Steve Ray, Catholic convert and speaker, pilgrimage leader, joins us. And author Kate Sidnor has a new book called Goodnight Jesus. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.